Welcome back to the All In Podcast. As you know, on Mondays, we have our Dungeons & Dragons series. We're doing a five-part series, and we're sponsored by Dungeons & Dragons. We're working with them to create episodes every Monday. And this is the fourth episode, so only one more to go after this. If this is the first app you've clicked on, head to the channel or the links below to click on the first episode and go through it. And if you enjoyed this episode and want to start your own adventure, click the link in the description to head to the Amazon store. All right. Take it away, Dave.
Hello.
Okay.
Dungeon Master Dave.
Hello. Episode 4. Let's do it. All right. So you have made your way out of the Ivy Mansion, and the Ivy Mansion has not survived the brief encounter that it had with you. It has now fallen under the ground, but you have managed to loot all sorts of treasures, mostly... You, Yark, got most of them, yep. And you're making your way back to Long Saddle. You, of course, had gone to the Ivy Mansion to retrieve a powerful magical ring for a woman called Anatolia Grimm, who's offered to pay you a lot of money for it, and you make good time on the road back towards Long Saddle. It's about a day and a half's walk, and on the end of the first day, I need everybody to make for me perception checks.
Perception.
Ooh, okay. Perception. I'd say 5.
13.
20.
Okay, great. Jani, you notice while the boys are looking for somewhere to camp, you suddenly notice that just up ahead on the crest of a hill, there is what looks like a small creature or a boy or a child waving frantically, trying to get your attention.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm scared of children.
You're scared of children.
Yeah, because some of them are taller than me, so.
I say, beware the child, Jani.
I go over and talk to the champ.
All right, so you head up to it's a short digression from the road that you're going, and you run. You head up to the hill, and as soon as he sees he's coming towards you, he runs down the hill towards you, and he goes, "Please, miss, my cart, he's got my cart." You realize now it's a small boy.
Okay.
Over there, just beyond the hill. Yeah, I was coming back from Neville.
To the child. She just stands there. Yeah. Yeah, you're always so silent. Talk to the child.
Why do I care about your card, young child?
Oh my god! The first words we've ever heard out of Jani, and it's bloody. Why do I care about your card,
Miss? You don't understand. I work for the Sage Mylena. She sent me to Neverwinter. She did. I was to bring back some magical supplies for her shop, but my card—it's been stolen.
Okay.
What? You don't care? You don't care? And tears start to well in his little eyes.
Okay, stop crying. Stop crying, okay?
What? Oh, so start crying. I can't stop crying.
You look hideous, okay? We'll take care of it.
I look hideous?
Jesus!
We'll take care of it, okay? Come on. Yeah.
He's just rivers of tears are now coming down. He's about 13 years old. He's got a little club, but no weapons otherwise, and sort of filthy half-length leather trousers, and he's dressed like a peasant basically, and a little leather cap.
I hear the distant cry, and I wake up from my sleep because I'm still being cradled by Casker because I'm weak.
Okay, you healed about a day ago. Everybody's at full health, by the way.
But they don't know that, so I just kept it going. I like nudge him to bring me over towards the crying child so that we're over there as well now.
Okay, Gaskin.
Yeah. So I walk up behind Jani and I see the little kid, and I kind of I kind of let Yark slips off my back like a child would.
I think at this point Yark has like a sort of quick release backpack system that he makes you wear.
Yeah. So it's us three in front of the child, and I say, Child, point us in the direction of said cart.
It just went into the woods. Over here, you can see where the meadow meets the trees. He was big. He was big. He took my cart. I don't think he's going to give him to Durgan the Blade. This is it's not crazy that Jani is critical about this because he's pointing opposite to the direction of Long Saddle. Oh. This is back into the woods again.
I'm going to pick up the kid with both hands around the neck.
The neck!
And I'm going to scream in his face, and I'm going to say... I'm just going to scream and say something... Oh, no. I'm going to intimidate him. I'm going to whisper in his ear and I'll say, if you're lying to me, I'm going to come back and I'm going to stab you in the neck. That's what I'm going to say to the kid. I want to intimidate. I'm trying to get the truth out of him. Can I do that?
I want you to make an intimidation check, and I want Jani and Yark to make insight checks.
Insight. I rolled a 4 for the insight.
I hit a 21.
Okay, so you have no insight, but you're terrifying. So, Kaskin, you scream in the kid's face. And no, you whisper, sorry.
Whisper.
And it's
whisper.
And he's so shocked and terrified that actually the tears stop as he looks at you in horror. Unfortunately, because of the insight rolls that you rolled, you can't tell if he's terrified because he thinks you've seen through him or if he's not lying to you and he's blameless.
Oh.
You're going to have to make your own hunch.
Is there... Ask him if there's any... ask him if there's any treasures on the card.
I'm going to ask him... I'm going to look at him and I'm going to say, how many men are with you? That's what I'm going to say while looking at the kid. I'm going to say, how many men are with you?
It's just me, my lord. I was sent to Neverwinter Market, you see. Lady Melina, she sends me with money and I'm to bring back books for her.
Kids. I'm going to take his money. Does he have any money?
The money's in the cart. The money's in the cart.
Yeah, I'm like patting down him. I'm looking for some gold.
You're patting down.
He's lying to us. He's lying to us. Right. You pat him down.
You find a slingshot. You find a half a loaf of bread. And you find a letter from the kid's uncle. A letter of introduction saying that the kid is a hard worker and he's very excited on this, his first job, and that he won't let anyone down.
Aww. Oh, God, he's telling the truth. I'm gonna eat the bread in front of the child.
As you're reading the note, you're like chewing on the bread.
Yeah, I'm like eating the bread.
Oh, I suppose, my lord, you can... I was saving that for me supper, but... if you're gonna help me, what's mine is yours.
I go. And I spit the bread out everywhere. And then I throw it on the floor and step on it and say, disgusting. Oh my God.
I thought I was meant to be the mean one. What happened to you?
It's just bad cop at this point. There's no one's making nice.
And then kind of when I'm done with that, I kind of wrap my hand around Jani and I say, lead the way into the forest, my lady.
We should bring the kid with us, right?
Yeah.
Because he knows. Oh, I guess all he knows is which direction.
Yeah, I shrug off Kaskin and I say the kid, lead the way.
Oh my God.
Oh.
All right, the kid who was terrified of Jani moments before is now more terrified of Kaskin. Yark really hasn't made an impression. And he takes Jenny's hand and leads you towards the forest. And soon you're all on the outskirts of the forest as his voice drops to a kind of frightened whisper. And he goes, he was a big one. Took the cart like it didn't weigh anything, put it over his shoulder and just stomped off. If you find it, there's a money box on it. That's full of Miss Marlena's books, and she'll pay you a handsome reward if we can get them back.
Oh, I do like money. Mm-hmm. I whisper to myself.
Does anyone? I out of nowhere say, does anyone have any rope?
I'm gonna check my backpack.
Check your backpacks, please.
Yes. Do actually you have some rope?
Yeah, you would have rope.
50-foot rope. Yeah.
Can I put out my hand towards you, Yark, and I say almost propositioning as you, like, I see a piece of rope and I just like, yeah, I've got my hand out for the
it's
rope.
It's like it's 50 foot long, so I'm pulling it out like as if it's like some weird magic trick because it's just so long in this bag and I just keep pulling it
and
out.
I'm like feeding it out as well. And as I do this, I out of nowhere, grab the kid and push him up against a tree and now I'm roping him against the tree and tying a knot, and he's stuck.
I'm starting to think that I've drastically given you some reason to not trust this kid.
I don't trust this kid at all. I don't know why I don't like you.
Okay, little Jimmy Ostover, That's right. We're giving the kid a name so that you kill him, you feel bad about it. Little Jimmy Ostover, you tie him against a tree. And he's like, yeah, no, I understand, my lord. For my protection. Probably too dangerous if I go into the woods. I'll shout if anybody comes, okay? Oh. I'll be the lookout.
I'm laughing. I'm maniacally laughing as I tie him on the tree.
Only, would it be possible for me to have my free hands and maybe some kind of weapon in case the bandits come back?
I say no.
What do you mean no?
I say no.
No, of course, of course, because you would probably need all the weapons to fight. I understand. I'll just shout really loudly and you'll come and save me then, yes?
I get one finger up and I push it against his, like, no, I get my whole palm of my hand and I press it against his face and I go, And then I start to walk into the forest, leading the adventurers away.
True heroes all.
As I hear him crying in the distance.
He's trying to be very brave as the night. And as you leave, as the sun goes down, wolves begin to howl as he looks uncertainly around.
Oh, my God.
Okay, you make...
I'm whistling your
way further in. Who is leading? Is it Cray? Oh, Yark, sorry?
I'll be leading, yeah.
Okay, make me a wilderness check.
I don't want to look at that anymore. The kid gets tied against a tree. Yeah.
Yeah, it's important that you have deniability.
Yeah, so we just sort of head in the direction that he
yeah, wilderness goes. Checks is how you do tracking in D&D, so make a wilderness check.
Wilderness check. Where?
With advantage, because actually it's somebody dragging a cart, and it made quite a bit of damage.
Okay, where is my wilderness check?
Oh, do you know what? I'm talking about a different version of D&D. Make a survival check.
Survival. Yeah.
Played too many versions.
Oh, I've got +3 on this. Let's say 15.
15, okay. You're able to follow what looks like a huge amount of damage. And in fact, with 15, you can get a sense that as you follow the tracks, it was one large, giant creature. It was carrying the cart under one arm, and it seemed to be dragging something else heavy in the dirt. And as you follow the tracks, you realize that at one point it met up with two very small creatures. And then the path leads into a cave, which you're standing outside of.
Another cave.
Oh, no.
You've had bad experiences in caves.
Can I investigate the start of the cave to see if I can gauge anything about it?
Yeah, make for me a investigation check.
16.
16. All right. You look at it and you can see signs that you recognize that goblins live in this cave.
Oh, God.
You're pretty sure you can use that. You know, you can see some of the kind of bones of the food that they like, some of the things that they scribble on the stone, their own graffiti, and you can even see remains of their garbage.
Hey, you guys feel like killing some goblins? Kind of like turn around. I mean, you've already killed a kid today, so may as well continue.
I'm still fine. I heard that. I just want you to know I'm still alive, but the wolf howls are getting louder.
I snap my fingers and almost as if like I've had a light bulb moment where I've figured something amazing out, and I say, I knew that child was a goblin. As I maybe like kind of walk past both Jenny and Yark, and I kind of start trailing down, leading the way, because I know that if we're gonna get jumped or attacked, I know that it should be me kind of walking forward. I'm very nervous about being jumped.
Okay, it's dark inside the cave. Just so you know, goblins have dark vision, so they don't need light. So
Maybe as I walk forward,
but that's fine. No, I don't want to stop your heroic moments. So I'm trying to blindly walk.
Yeah, I've got like my chest puffed out, and then like almost just the second I take a step into the cave, I like look back at Jenny, and I kind of go, psst, can you cast a little flame spell here for maybe some light?
So I cast.
Well, and then Kaskin realizes that I'm already in the cave. I've already taken the ship and walked out because I can see a lot better.
So are you going to put him out of his misery? Jenny?
Oh, yeah, I'll cast the dancing lights so we can see the cave.
You click your fingers and your dancing lights come back to life. The So the light illuminates the entryway of the cave, and you can see that there's an underground river here that breaks into the cave, and it means that the cave cuts quite deep underground. As you make your way forward, make for me... you're still leading the way, Crow? Lit by Jenny's light, so Jenny's just behind?
What do you guys reckon? Would I be leading the way in this situation?
I feel like I would be...
Yeah, I feel like Yark would be leading this situation.
I've been meaning to say that you're not using the rogue the way that people traditionally use rogues.
Yeah, we're going to throw Yark in front because it is dark and I feel like he's...
Natural dark vision, very stealthy, good at stealing shit.
Yeah, you go ahead, Yark.
You know what?
I head further in.
We're back enough to where there's only a glimmer of the light on Yark so we can... obviously see ahead of him because he's got his dark vision and stuff, but we're enough to where we think that if Yark was to spot something, we'd have enough time
perfect
to not get spotted ourselves.
Okay, Yark, make for me a stealth check.
Stealth or...
oh no, you know what, you're wearing boots of elvenkind, so you get advantage.
Oh, so I get to roll twice for the heist.
Twice.
Yep.
Okay, well that's good because the first one was a 2, so let's roll that one again. 19.
Okay, sneaking forward on your little tippy toes, Yark, you make your way down, and as you grow around a boulder, the pathway of the cave loops around, and you can see suddenly underneath straw has been laid out. There's a couple of very sick-looking donkeys in the corner, and there is a huge broken cart smashed against the wall with a strong box on it, and sitting in a fire with their backs to you. Are two goblins having an argument with a giant ogre standing next to what looks like almost a branch, like the trunk of a small tree that he clearly uses as a club. And they're arguing over some chicken carcasses that are on the fire.
Okay. Well, it seems like our only goal for this is just to retrieve. So I kind of want to be a bit more aggressive and just kind of... go for a stealth attack and see if we can get one to remain. So is there three of them total? So there's two
goblins
two
and
goblins
the ogre,
and,
yeah.
And the big ogre. I turn to my party and say, hey, I could do a stealth attack. Do you want me to take out one of these goblins?
Immediately when I see Yark saying that, I jump up and down trying to smack away Jenny's
You're like blowing on it.
I'm like blowing on the... I've actually got one in my hand.
You can't see though without him.
But I can.
Yeah, but...
but there's enough of a glimmer from the fire, Jenny.
Oh,
you see this?
You're still not going to be able to blow them out. It's really up to Jenny if she wants to turn them off.
Jenny, you're going to turn them off for me?
Can I slap Kaskin real quick?
Yeah, you can slap him with the dancing lights if
you
want.
Yeah, slap him with the dancing lights.
Oh, my God!
He wimp...
sorry, Dan.
No, I said you whimper, but you manage to not make enough noise that the goblins can hear you and the lights are extinguished.
Okay,
I jump down to prone. Like, I almost fall flat first
on
the ground prone.
Is it just a flat surface in the cave? Is there anywhere we
you're
can
up,
get...
So you're actually about 10 feet above them. The path, as I said, it winds around a boulder and then goes down into a kind of sort of clearing a room inside the cave.
Can I use a spell? Can I do it? Can I start?
Yeah, of course.
Can I use my hideous laughter? And it echoes throughout the cave.
You absolutely can. So you, in the last day, while Kaskin has been carrying Yark, and Yark has been counting his ill-gotten treasures, while you were walking on the road, you've been studying the Harp Elf spellbook that you got, and you've managed to memorize two spells that you read on it. And we're going to cast one of them now, which is Tasha's Hideous Laughter. So you're standing above them. You can point at any one of the three creatures, the goblins or the ogre.
Okay, the ogre, I think. Let's make the ogre laugh.
All right, big ogre.
All right, you cast a spell, and the goblins are fighting over the chicken. And I'm just going to make a wisdom save. The ogre looks at them and starts to laugh as one of them pulls the chicken, and the chicken wing breaks and it falls into the fire, and the ogre starts to laugh and then laughs more and more and more, dropping the trunk to his side until he's... catatonic almost on the ground, roaring in laughter. The goblins are so fed up with each other over their meal that they sort of haven't noticed yet, but he's completely incapacitated for laughter at the moment. This is a concentration spell, which means if you try and cast another complicated spell, it will break, but as long as you maintain the spell in your mind, Janny, for the next minute, you've got him incapacitated by this laughter.
Oh.
Can I point to the cart, and I'm going to look over to Yark, and I'm just going to whisper at him, remaining as silent as I can. I'm just going to say, go get that kid's gold, and we'll bounce out of here.
I just want to get out of here.
This is all like, I love this because it's like, imagine like there's no conversation, but it's like Kaskin points at the treasure chest. Yark holds up his crossbow, points at the goblin. Kaskin shakes his head.
you want to kill the kid, but you don't want to kill the two fucking goblins that stole.
What the fuck is your alignment anyway, Kaskin?
He's on the goblin side.
I'm trying to be more deceptive. I'm trying to get this adventure over and done.
Yeah, the kid's a goblin spy, but the goblins are probably just kids.
Yark realizes that I'm extremely claustrophobic.
Oh, you are scared of the dark. I forgot. Okay, well then I stealthily start walking over to the cart then and see if I can get anything without alerting anyone.
Okay, now you make me one more stealth check opposed by the perception of the goblins, which I'll roll. The ogre doesn't get a roll because the ogre is so incapacitated.
I rolled a 15.
Okay, Yark walks over, and while the goblins are starting to notice the ogre, one of them's poking him to see what's happening, you very carefully lift up the iron lockbox and you pull it off the cart and you head back to the other two. The goblins do not notice.
Oh.
Ooh.
Well, we don't have to fight. We don't have to fight.
Yeah. Free gold.
Yeah. I'm saying, like, let's just bail. Let's just get out of here.
All right.
The kid didn't want
a little bit of
cart back, did he? Just the gold, right?
Screw the kid.
We're here for the kid. Doing it for the kid then.
Yeah, but now we got this lockbox filled with gold.
Let's go head back.
Okay. Yeah.
Fine. See ya.
Okay. So you grab the lockbox. You make your way out of the cave. I'm just gonna roll. And yes, the kid is still there.
Oh my
by
God.
The time you arrive.
Did you just roll for the kid's life?
Yeah. I just did. How does that feel? Cry. How does that feel?
Wow. Okay.
Tied him to a tree.
It was 50-50. Let me tell you.
Oh my God.
No wolves have found him yet. You were very quick. You didn't get distracted by the fight. You still get all the experience for the encounter, and you have the lockbox as you untie him, and he's like, you did it, you Miss Melina's books, you got them for me, she'll be so impressed.
Oh. I point to the lockbox, looking down at the kid, and I say, what's it worth to you?
Oh my God.
Well, you've got my slingshot and my bread, so I'm pretty much out of liquid currency at the moment.
I'm not going to give you anything.
But if you give that to Miss... I'll take you to Mistress Melina's house back in Long Saddle. She'll pay you handsomely for it.
Yes.
Yeah, let's do that.
Take us.
Immediately on hearing that, I have the hugest grin come over my face. And I start skipping off. And I'm ready to go meet Mrs. Melina.
All right. Just outside Long Saddle, you see the house of Mistress Melina, who is a sage who lives here. A lot of wizards, because of, the influence of the Harpels, are attracted to Long Saddle. It punches above its weight in magic users. And Jimmy Ostafer walks up and he's like, come in. She'll be up and studying, but I reckon she'll want to be interrupted for this. And he walks through the door.
Oh.
I'm just going to follow him in.
Okay, inside you can see an older woman, like in her mid-60s, who is studying a textbook, and she looks up alarmed. She says, Jimmy, I didn't hear the donkeys. What happened to your cart? And he says, sorry, miss, you don't understand. Durgan's bandits, they caught me on the road. But these gentlemen, not only did they get the lockbox, but they played some very funny jokes on me where I thought I was going to die.
I'm laughing.
He starts laughing too. There is panic. His eyes are sad, but his face is laughing.
I kind of look at the child and remembers what I whispered.
Yeah, he remembers.
Is this woman in front of me attractive?
I mean, she exudes a kind of powerful mummy energy, I suppose.
Mummy energy.
I approach alluringly almost.
You could be a yummy
like
mummy if you want, Kraya.
yeah. I'm kind of like a Han Solo, you know, S character here. You know, very, very handsome. And I say, "What's the lockbox worth to you?" Just like that.
Okay. make a charisma check.
Charisma check. Would that persuasion. Be charisma?
Performance.
Oh, persuasion. Performance. What is performance? I'll do that one. I got a 16.
A 16. 16 is pretty good. She looks at you and cocks an eyebrow and smiles, and she says, "Well, I don't hear things so forward so often. I suppose.
Oh gosh.
What's my favor worth to you, young man?"
You actually get flustered by it. You're like, oh my god.
I'm flustered by it. Yeah. I'm flustered, and I say,
like, one of those people that's like a flirt, and the moment they get anything back, they just freak
you're like,
out.
Oh gosh, yeah. she actually spoke to me.
In the moment, the only word I can utter is nothing but gold.
Gold. She sighs, so depressingly predictable. Oh well, I suppose we can find you something. Yes, I would be happy to pay for my books back. They're vital for my research. But I would also, and she looks at you, be interested to know where you got that ring you're wearing.
Ooh.
Excuse me? You are going hot and cold.
I look down at her now with a face of utter disgust. And I say, why? What's that kind of information worth to you?
She says, gold. Well, you trading gold.
Let me tell you. She looks at the three of you and she says, heading on the north road, the ring like that, you've come from the Ivy Mansion, haven't you? You found something there. I'm not going to take it from you, but may I see it?
Ooh.
I say no. I'm going to say you may not. I'll lean
so
out my hand.
You can see it from there.
Like, I hold it up like with my fingers stretched, but I don't. You know, she can't snatch it off me. Fuck that.
She looks at you and she says, "No, over here. I will need more light." And she walks over near the fire and she pulls. She has a kind of small armature with a lens on it that she was using to read. She indicates for you to place your hand underneath the lens.
She wants to read the inscription.
Okay, I'll do it. I walk over and I place my hand under the lens, right. But I like look over to Yark and I wink.
I have no idea what that means. So I
yeah, I have no Jenny, idea what that means.
And to Jenny, I blow a kiss. I go.
What would you do if you winked and then the moment she looked at it, Yark just shot her in the head with a crossbow? Because a wink can mean anything.
That would be great. Yes. I mean,
no, I'm not going to shoot the old lady in the head. So
while Jimmy watches. No, all right. So she takes the lens and she looks and she says, "Yes, no, I was correct. This is a signet ring of the Harpel family. It was a ring designed for their youngest granddaughter, in fact, Anna Harpel.
Oh, man.
Priceless to the right collector, but also incredibly magical."
I'm going to ask her, what kind of magic are we talking about?
It is the magic of utter transformation. The Harpels were interested in the magic of wishes, you understand. The ability to make from whole cloth that which is not real, real, and that which is real, never again. This ring can restitch at least once or twice the very fabric of the world.
Oh my God. I shout out of nowhere, summoning all my magical energy. I summon a beautiful virgin to see what happens. Does anything happen?
She looks at you and she says, well yes, I mean, I am a virgin, but my studies were always so important.
Oh, God.
I said beautiful.
Gives you a little wink.
I said beautiful.
She likes you again.
I think I'm going to sleep with this woman.
I mean, all signs point to you're going to sleep with this woman.
Oh, my God.
That's a short rest, surely. Won't be long at all.
Yeah. Dave, can I sleep with her?
You know what? With advantage, make a charisma check.
Charisma check?
Is that performance?
Charisma, then performance.
I hit a 19.
Look, I have gold for you. Here, why didn't you, the little dwarf fellow, and you, the lovely lady, Jimmy, take them to the Gilded Horseshoes. I have rooms there. Unfortunately, I only have one bed. Kaskin, why don't you stay the night with me, and I can tell you more about this ring, maybe over some brandy?
That sounds great. Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
Okay, you get hurried out of the room, and as you do, very obliviously, Jimmy goes, "That was a bit strange. There was an energy in there I didn't quite understand."
I don't think anybody did.
Anyway, we're going to head to the horseshoe now, so I'll take you to your rooms. Everybody, Jenny and Yark, you have a long rest. You get all of your health back, all of your spell points. Kaskin, you have a night of surprisingly intense erotic desires. living out one fantasy after another in a very sort of Kama Sutric fashion. In the morning, you are invigorated, but...
Does he level up, or is it just...
I mean, he levels up certain skills, yeah.
Is there a role he can do for how well he performs?
You make a performance check.
Okay, here we go. Oh my God, I hit a 19. Okay.
You blow Mylena's mind. And in the morning, as you wake up to the smell of coffee and bacon, she thanks you for a magical night and then says, "Something to remember me by, a young stranger," and gives you a magical amulet. Congratulations.
Oh, yes.
You fucked so good, you have a magic item. Are you happy?
Yes. I walk out with a big smile on my face, and I'm headed to Jenny and Yark.
Okay, so we're not doing anything with the ring with her.
Did I learn anything during our amazing intercourse? Did I learn anything about the ring?
Yeah, she tells you the ring it requires there would be a secret code word to activate it, but the ring was all the Harpels had them, and they had the power of a wish in them. They were given them on the day that they come of age. And those wishes can do most things in the world, but they're one use only, and you need to know the code word. This was Anna Harpel's ring, and she was killed in the catastrophe that befell the family a few years ago, and the body was never found.
I think in a very small inscription on the ring, you can read, "Cannot wish for more wishes."
Yeah. That's a standard clause in D&D. Absolutely. Thank you for not breaking the game.
I'm going to take off the ring, and I'm going to put it in my pocket.
Okay.
Take it off.
You don't want people knowing you got it.
Yeah, I'm going to put it in my pocket, just in case someone knows the code word.
It's probably the smartest thing you've done all day, to be honest.
All right.
Yeah.
Leaving Mylena alone behind, you head to the Gilded Horseshoe, where Jimmy's also left, and your friends and the rest of the gang are having breakfast. As you sit down at the table, you order a coffee, you're all reunited, but as you're enjoying your meal, you hear a cough and you realize that the gnome Mr. Quisling has returned.
Oh, this
Mr. Lanlin Quisling.
You talk to him.
Ah,
hello,
yes.
Mr. Lanlin.
The Chuff Sags, was it? Yes, the cool, handsome, funny, smart, etc.
It's good you've remembered.
Yeah, I've it's a difficult name to remember. I had to write it down.
Oh, you did a fine job of doing it. So
thank you very much.
Thank you. It's not that bad a name. So.
Well, it's the worst adventuring party name I've ever heard, but okay. That's fine. The others are called the Red Lancers. Easy to remember. Good, strong, solid name.
We call ourselves the Blue Lancers.
They would hate that. They would absolutely... They would take that as a personal insult. It's, I don't understand. What time did you come in? I believe that my mistress told you to head immediately to her once you returned.
We just arrived. Kaskin, his shoes were untied.
I've got my feet on the table. I've got my feet on the table, and I'm grinning ear to ear.
Are you okay?
Whistling.
Are you okay, sir? You look incredibly flushed.
I said, where is your lady? Bring her out here. We need to, some business to discuss.
There's big circles under your eyes. Did you not sleep last night? Are you okay?
I look at him and I say, shut up, imp.
Ah, yes. That's right. Our rapport. Our famous rapport. Yes, I will get my mistress. One moment. Absolutely. Yes, no. Probably bet for the best. And he ducks away. Mm. So you have a moment to discuss
what,
if you want.
What are
or
we
going to
do with this ring? Like, are we going to tell her that we're doing it? Or?
So we're going to act like, because I'm scared that if she knows we have it, she'll say the code word and she'll get it to herself. Like she'll, you know, or she'll use it against us in some way.
Well, that's the whole point is we're giving it to her for money. You know, so it's
yeah, but
I
don't know. I
so you want to
like
try
and
get the code off her? So
I want
the
money and
the
ring.
Of space.
Yeah, I want to control the fabric of space. My name's Kaskin, and I'm here for power. And yeah, so I kind of tell my friends that I want the ring really badly. I need it. I want it.
We don't know what she's gonna wish for either, though. So I don't.
Yeah, it's scary.
I don't really want to give it back to her that willingly.
Well, then what?
Let's
what are we
probe
ask?
Her for what she knows about the house. I've also got an idea to shock her as well. I've got a really good idea to shock her. So
sure.
It's like I think we just need to try to find out the code. Then when that happens, I'm gonna whisk out the wind, put it on, and I'm gonna say the code where I'm gonna wish for something.
Okay, sure.
Boom.
Right, okay.
It's just how are you even going to know that there's a code? So let's just play it. Let's play it out. You know what? Play it out.
She just knows that
for the code,
right?
No, but we,
ladies and gentlemen, Mrs. Anatolia Grimm. Mrs. Grimm returns. She's again in her big sort of black, elegant gown. She has a veil and a quite stylish black hat on, so you can't quite see her face. And she walks up towards the table, and she, but she doesn't sit. She just stands, and she says, "Ah, my heroes returned, and in excellent time. The Red Lancers never returned themselves. So, if you have what I seek, I suppose you won this little wager and my favor."
We actually saw the Red Lancers, and they said, "No, we're not as good as the Chufsags," and they actually just ran off. They didn't even try it. They just ran off. So maybe don't hire
really?
Them again, and maybe you should hire us more and not them, because they were very bad. So
absolutely, I am true to my word. As I said to you, if you have my ring and if you return it to me, I shall put you all on commission as my personal agents in this area, and you can report directly to me. I have much more work for you.
Oh.
And it all pays as well as this, let me tell you.
Like
that's pretty good. That's I feel like you're over the ring. I'm gonna say about this ring here that I've got in my pocket.
Not here. don't say here.
I've got in my pocket.
Did you say this ring?
Yeah, I'm going to say about this ring.
You can just say the ring size pocket.
about this ring, if you were to activate it, what kind of code would your family use to activate a magic ring?
My family is Morovian. We're from Morova. We're from a small town across. You don't understand. I am simply a collector.
What's your mother's maiden name?
It is a fine example of workmanship. I'm trying to get a collection of the families of the Sword Coast signet rings.
I'm going to get out a little piece of paper, and on it is a badly drawn version of a segment of events where the house is standing in one bit, then there's an arrow pointing to a crack in the earth, all stick figures, and then the house, then another arrow, and the house is destroyed. And I say, "How do you feel about your family home being burnt for crisp?"
Okay, two things. Firstly, while you're doing this, because it's going to take you a while to draw this, I need you to make a perception check for me, Yark.
I will. Perception.
Come on.
Is a 3.
Oh, God.
Okay, I will let you also make it, Jenny, if you want.
Come on.
16.
16. So Yark is oblivious to this.
I've had too many sort of beers.
Yeah. It's the morning. It's like 9 a.m.
I've been up all night. I didn't sleep. I could hear cats.
His window was open and it wouldn't shut. It was all rusted open.
It was freezing.
Oh, that sucks. Okay, well, but so, Jenny, you spot something which Yark hasn't noticed, which is that the dagger... that the magical dagger that he's got on his crossed bandoliers, that you picked up in the Ivy Mansion, is the blade is glowing at the moment. It's glowing purple. Make an arcana check, actually, Jani, as well, okay. Because you know a little bit about magic.
21.
Okay. Yes. So there are different color auras that some magical items can detect the different types of beasts or magical creatures, things like detect devils, detect undead, detect goblinoids. So this looks like it's probably some kind of detection magic. It's detecting some kind of creature. Now, you just said at this point you finished your diagram. Is that correct?
Yeah. And I hold it up to her and I'm kind of... I just like say, how do you feel about your family home being destroyed?
Okay. Just going to make a performance check for me. Because you're trying to like surprise her, right?
Yeah, most definitely, most definitely. Yeah. Okay, I hit a 13.
Okay, she rolled a 6, and she goes, "It wasn't my. I told you, I live in Morovia." But she's completely flustered, and you're sure she's lying. Her reaction, her face drains when she sees that the house was destroyed, and she's like, "But you found it, right? Before the house fell, ring is safe."
I say, sadly, we found no ring. All we found were red lances. And we killed them, and we escaped barely just with our own lives.
That's deception. That's going to need a deception check.
I'm bad at deception, I think. Where is it? Oh, no.
She just rolled a 19, just so you know.
I rolled a 20! 19 plus 1. Yes!
Oh, my God. All right. She looks at it, and she says, "You idiots!" And she sort of screams, and the gnome shudders, and for a second her face slips and you get a sense of what looks like almost a decaying skull-like face, and then there is a snap and her beautiful face reverts and she's like, "Do you have any idea what you have done? That ring was priceless and it was to be mine! Quisling, the gate!" And she indicates, and Quisling quickly looks in his folio and hands her a small metal box, and she looks at you and she says, "Did you see it? Do you know where it fell? Did the lances have it? Tell me everything or suffer the consequences." She's now holding delicately this metal box.
She's got
which
a metal
looks like
thing.
It's like a puzzle box. It's kind of got all these fine lines drawn all around it.
I can't speak out of me. I've seen that before. It's probably magic or something. I don't know.
Oh, God.
You haven't seen it before. Jani, make an arcana check for me.
Okay. You haven't... Shut up, Yark!
22.
Okay, you think that might be a gate stone, which is a...
Oh, man.
These often are connected to sort of teleportation and demiplane magic. You don't know exactly how it works, but it probably is connected to a little kind of pocket dimension.
Oh, she's going to send us to the Shadow Realm.
Oh, God. I'm going to...
Yu-Gi-Oh!
I kind of look over to Jani and see that she has like a kind of look of, you know, like she's being inquisitive, but also, yeah, like a little bit of nervousness. I'm going to stand up immediately and I'm going to kick her as hard as I can.
Oh my God.
Right in the belly. I'm just going to ram her with my full foot.
The belly.
Yeah, push kick, boom. Hope you're not pregnant. And as I kick her, I'm going to also try to snatch the box and hold it myself. Grab it.
Okay, make a dexterity. Oppose dexterity check. See who can go first. She rolled a 21.
Oh my God, I rolled a 15. Uh-oh.
Okay. So you stand up abruptly, and as you do that, she looks at you, indicates, and flashes something in an evil abyssal tongue, and you need to make for me quickly a wisdom save.
Wisdom save? Oh, God. That's bad.
Oh, my God. I hit a 20.
Okay. Chains of light try to bind you to the table, but you burst through them, and you bull rush her as hard as you can, and she goes sprawling back against the wall, and very quickly Janny and Yark, you can have actions if you want.
Oh my god.
Can I go up to her and like, I don't know what position she's in, but like ask her like what she really wanted to do, why the ring was so important, what did she want to do with the ring, like persuade her to tell me the truth too.
Are you trying to intimidate her? Okay, so you walk up to her. How do you try to intimidate her?
Do
some weird stuff with your hands.
Okay, I do some magical things in my hand. Like
So you bring out your dancing lights and then you make them hover just in front of her eyes.
These are death lights.
And they underlight your face so that you look like incredibly sinister and evil. Make an intimidation check.
20.
Oh my god.
20. Okay, Jenny can be terrifying. Jenny can be terrifying when she wants to. And she looks and she says, "It's my ring. It was my birthright. They killed me and they had no right."
Oh, she's undead. I say that out loud. As I've like got her pinned against like, I don't know, like the side of a bar.
You don't have her pinned. You just kicked her back.
Okay. Yeah. So I've just kicked her back and I say, "Oh, she's undead," out loud.
Yep. Great. And Yark, you get an action as well.
Oh.
Everyone, by the way, all the nice people in the Gilded Horseshoe are sort of looking up concerned now because you've just stepped up and kicked a lady in the face.
And shouted, "Oh, she's undead."
Where's the little gnome guy, little assistant? Is he around?
He's backed up. He's trying to back out of the room.
Grab that.
Grab him and hold a dagger to his throat while this is all happening, just so he doesn't do anything?
You guys are about the same size, so I guess that's fair.
Yeah, all right. I go for the short guy.
Yeah. Make a strength check. He rolled a 7.
Strength. I rolled a three.
Oh, the gnome is gonna.
The gnome gets behind you and gets your hand in an arm lock.
Yeah.
And he's like, "I've had just about enough shit from all of you. Make fun of me. God. Well, let me tell you, Quisling studied judo."
Oh, help! He's got me in an arm lock.
There's a moment of distraction, and now it is her turn. And you tried to grab the cube, right?
Yes.
Is that correct, Kaskin?
I did try to grab it. Yeah.
So she summons all her strength and she pulls, and she's stronger than you thought. She tries to pull the cube out of your hand. Make a strength check.
Is that the top left one?
Yep.
Yep. I hit a 13.
13. All right, you're just stronger than her and you manage to hold on to it, and snarling in frustration, she lets go of the cube and very, very quickly casts a spell of Misty Step and blinks out of sight. But you still have the cube, and obviously you still have the ring. And you hear a booming voice as she disappears going, "This is not the end of this. I will have what is mine." Oh, and it's very sort of angry, sort of raspy voice now.
Oh, God.
Hey, someone want to help me with this gnome?
I'm going to place down the box kind of behind me on the table. I actually have a chest. I'm gonna put it like in my backpack, in my chest. It says that I'm carrying some sort of gear. So I'm gonna put it in, you know, in one of my packets that I've got. And then I'm gonna walk over to Yark and the gnome intimidatingly, and I'm gonna separate them.
Both up.
Yeah. We're both there, like one in my offhand, one in the other hand.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, there's enough of you there, and Quisling's by himself, that, you just sort of very carefully pick up the gnome and the dwarf, and you sort of hold them apart until the fight goes out of Quisling.
I'm, like, wildly kicking.
They're both the fight does not go out of Yark.
Slips on the way to you. Slipped over into you.
When I realise that that has happened, like that Yark is starting to settle down, I'm immediately and suddenly going to grab the gnome by the neck and slam him to the ground with all my strength.
Oh,
and scream in his face, "Tell me what you know!" Like that.
Kind of like Batman.
Batman voice. Yeah.
He sort of looks at you, and he's surprisingly... Oh, make an intimidation check before I say he's surprisingly brave.
Oh, I'm not even kidding. I hit a 21.
Oh,
God. He's not surprisingly brave, and he sort of cowers, and he's like, You'll never find her now. My mistress Anna. You understand that she's not of this world. She's escaped from you, and she will find you. And she will find you when you least expect it. And she will kill all of you.
Oh. I say, what is the family word to activate the ring?
Must know that. Only my mistress knows it. She would never tell me. She would never tell any of us.
I say, damn it! And I spit on his face. Spit on him.
He's too scared to do anything about it, but he doesn't like that.
Can we ask him where her belongings are or anything she had on her, or where she's?
She keeps a pocket dimension where she lives. She flits between here and the world that way, but without she has a neck with the necklace that she wore is what allowed her to access it. So without that necklace, she's gone to you.
Can I look around? Does any of the patrons have a sword on them? Does any one of the patrons around? Can I?
Yeah, there's a quite fancy looking guy who has a very ceremonial sword who obviously doesn't know how to use it.
Yeah, so I immediately get up off of the gnome and I come over to this patron and I want to unsheath this sword from him with pretty much ignoring him, put down the lockbox. I'm going to swing at the little lockbox.
Oh.
Oh, at the gate?
Yeah, at the gate. Dimensional, I'm going to swing at the gate. Yeah, I'm going to break it because he said she lives in there, so I'm going to kill her.
Interesting. Okay. This is a type of magic, I suppose, hitting the item with the sword to see if it does anything. Okay, Janny, can you make for me very quickly a dexterity check? And can you make for me a strength attack, Kaskin?
Yes, I can.
Which one's dexterity?
Dexterity is right up the top. It's a dex. It's top left hand corner.
Should I just use a dagger attack or something like that? Like just the damage.
Whatever you would use to break what looks like a priceless little artifact.
It looks like I hit it for 6 if I use the damage button.
Yep. Okay. 6. Yep.
In 10.
And okay. So Janny tries to grab the cube because Janny, you realize that yes, you can use this cube to access. The demiplane, but she is not quite quick enough and the dagger pins it to the table and it starts to spark, but it still looks like it works, but it looks like it might be damaged now.
Whoopsie.
Janny, as you scoop it up. So you realize, Janny, you already knew what this was. This is a gate stone. They are devices that are used often to trap people in demiplanes or move cargo and things into demiplanes without, you know, basically, yeah, to control controlled specific teleportation.
Okay.
This one is now damaged. You probably know how to activate it if you want to.
Well, where would we want to go if we can
where
you
is,
won't get to choose.
Janny, we should chase after her.
But I don't know where she went. So
you won't get to choose. So this will be attuned to a specific location.
Okay.
Let's do it. Let's pop through it.
Because if she was threatening to send us there, it's probably not a good spot. When she pulled it out and was threatening us to, like, she was going to send us somewhere.
Now, Yark, that's a very clever thing to have said, yeah. But you also have said it a little late, so I'll make you make a dexterity check.
Dexterity. Well, I'm actually +5 dexterity, so 15.
15, and can you make a wisdom, a quick wisdom check, Janny?
6.
6, okay, not very wise, but you're very quick. So, Yark, you see that Janny is about to activate it, and you grab the cube and say that to them before it's activated.
You idiots! It's not going to be a good spot she's sending us to, so...
We should go to my wife, and...
What?
You got married?
Yeah, we got married. We should ask her about this. We should definitely ask her about it. My waifu, she knows everything about these little things, these little trinkets.
That's a good point.
Okay. And let's go see her.
All right, that sounds good.
I pick it up, and we're walking off to go see me wife.
You head back to the sage's house. The doors are open, and she looks up. She goes, Mylena's there. She's like, my love. And she walks over and just, gives you a huge open mouth kiss.
I slam it goes for some time.
Okay.
it goes for longer than there's a performative aspect to it. It goes long enough that Janny and Yark, you're both like really feeling that this is for your benefit.
I rolled for performance and I got a 19.
She rolled for performance and she got a 2.
This is amazing. I outperform
more teeth than you were expecting.
I point towards the trinket that I'm getting out of my bag and I say, I hit this with my sword and somebody, we think, disappeared into it. The lady across the road. What should we do?
Let me take a look at that, my love. And she quickly rushes over to her lens and she studies it and she goes, this is a gate stone, you understand? It will take everyone in the room that's activated, or at least in a small area, it will teleport them into a demiplane of the inventor's choosing. Have a look at... Yeah, let me have a look at this. She grabs some powders and she sort of pours it on it and wipes it. She goes, yes, this is... I can see... Have a look at this. And she's cast a spell on the lens and she indicates for you to come and look through the lens that's pointed at the cube.
I look through the lens.
You can see a dungeon cell about 20 feet by 20 feet, yep, with manacles on the walls. And she says, this is the room that this is focused to.
Yep.
It's not in this world. It's in its own small pocket world. Now, normally...
Oh, it's a pocket world. I get it now.
If it's activated, it will bring you in there, you understand. I think because it's damaged, it's also meant to disarm you and chain you to that wall, but I think we can probably bypass that part of the spell if you want to activate it, but you will still end up inside the dungeon.
I say, is there any way we can find the woman we're looking for, like, with this? Can we change it to find her in any way, shape, and form?
Well, this is attuned to the pocket dimension, so that space is bigger than just that cell. It seems to be. I can't get a proper sense because this is attuned so carefully to the cell, but I'm getting the impression of a large complex.
She's in there, bro. We should hop in. I turn around to Yark and Janny, and I'm pointing and I'm saying, "Let's go in. Let's go in." An adventure.
I say. Yes.
are you okay? You seem a little...
At this point, I just...
Oh, you're not weirded out. If you're some kind of prude.
Everyone thinks we're fucking weirdos. We've strangled a kid. We've got a bad reputation around here. I kind of just want to start a new life.
No one knows that we strangled the kid. The kid hadn't said anything, to be fair. We have a good reputation.
It's only a matter of time before word spreads. It's a small town. People are going to know that.
I see that kid again, I'm going to kick him in the head.
All right, well, if you're going for an adventure, you be careful, my love. Here, take this. She gives you a packed lunch. And have you had a look at that amulet I gave you yet? There's more to it than just a pretty face.
Oh, no, I haven't, but I'm wearing it around my neck.
Okay, she looks at it and she says, it's an amulet of the drunkard. It's an old spell of my family, but a fun one. Anytime you drink alcoholic substance, it works as a healing potion, okay? You understand?
Oh, yes!
Something to keep you safe.
Well, I'm always carrying a beer around, so I've got one of those.
Yes, so before we go in, can we restock our supplies? Because I am missing a dagger, I'm missing a spear.
Oh, you're missing half your
I'm
stuff.
Missing a pole arm. I grab all those stuff. Things?
And tell you what, you go buy anything you want. I will try and repair this cube in a way that you have some more control when you get in.
Yes, we're going on an adventure!
Do we have any money? Can I buy some alcohol?
Yeah, you still had about 140 gold pieces. So if you spend 20 gold, you can get daggers, replenish crossbow bolts, get a new spear. Is there anything else specifically you want?
I want a health pot, please.
Oh, health pots? Yeah, okay. Yep, you can get 3 more health pots if you want.
I want to buy... For you, we can use alcohol if we want. So you can just get a beer and that'll heal you. You know.
Yeah, but the only thing is, it's beer is still beer, so you will get drunk. It will just also have a byproduct.
Drunk. I want one.
And
the stronger the alcohol,
better the healing as well.
Okay, I want a really strong beer that'll just in case. Really, it'll make you drunk, but it'll save your life maybe.
All right, so that's you also get a couple of flagons. Of a dwarven stout, and also a long saddled gin, which is fermented. In barrels and is incredibly nasty smelling, and the local farmers swear by it.
Okay. Yeah, I'll bring that.
And after about an hour, you all make your way back, and you can see now that the sage has put on a kind of lab coat, and she's standing at her desk, and she's drawn a circle on the floor, and she's moved all of her furniture aside, and she's drawn this a big circle with salt in the center of her house. And she's like, all of you, I need you to stand in the circle.
Oh. We're going in.
Okay.
And we all we stand in.
Now, you're going to arrive in a dungeon cell, you understand? Do you have some plan to get out of that?
We never do. We're just kind of improvising as we go.
Okay, gotta be honest with you. You obviously know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. I'm not going to interfere. Well, in that case, be safe. Come back to me, my love, so that we can continue our wonderful erotic adventures together.
I love you.
I love you. I love you so much.
You might not have much time left.
I love you.
No, I love you.
No, I love you.
Activate the spell, wench.
She gives you a wink, presses a button, and the room glows blue as you are transported out of the prime material plane that you exist in into a pocket dimension of this Anatolia Grimm. Once your benefactor are now turned to your enemy, you have were once the hunted, but now you have become the hunters. If you can break out of the prison that will hold you, and to find out if you can, let's wait out for the next thrilling and final installment of the All In Podcast.
That was my favorite episode so far.
Oh, yeah. You certainly had a lot more sex than you normally do.
Hey, in Dungeons & Dragons and real life, let me tell you.
Thank you for listening. If you guys enjoyed this ep and want to start your own adventure, click the link in the description to head to the Amazon store. Our final episode will be next Monday of the 5-part series. I look forward to it.